download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back. We want to thank Mr. Scott Vecchi for stopping in and saying hello. Hey, just a couple of quick notes before we get to Mike Jones, who is sitting here and waiting. Last week we had Richard Rosen, who was here. And you remember that, do you not? You had some pizza.
How could I forget?
Of course. Don't forget, this coming weekend is Father's Day, it's Sunday. And wouldn't it be fantastic to take your dad to McGuigan's Pub? You know, they're starting a new menu. It's called $7 Sundays. Did you know that, Joe?
I did know that.
All right. And for $7, this is an in-house thing from 12 to 5, you can get seven various items, stuff like any two-topping pizzas or
How about two-topping scotches?
I don't know about that, but but this is strictly food.
Seven anything. Oh, strictly food.
No, no, there's a list of seven items that you get for $7 between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m., a Black Angus cheeseburger. Just $7.
Really?
So why not treat your dad today, downtown Whitman, McGuigan's Pub. Keep that in mind.
Why not?
Joining us right now, none other than Mr. Michael Jones is joining us. And I'm excited. I can't wait. I think Joe's excited, too.
I am.
First and foremost, how have you been?
I've been great, thank you. I have the distinct privilege of being here today. 20 years ago, when I got into the international business of politics, there was one gentleman who used to be the head of the CIA for the MENA region, and then he became the head of the CIA for Europe. He was one of the most instrumental people in forming our policies against anti-terrorism. He's on the line right now. He lives in Marbella, Spain, in a beautiful home overlooking the Mediterranean. And his name is James Fees, and he's a mentor of mine. And so tonight, because of all of the things that are happening around the world, I want to read you a couple of quotes.
Please do.
That Mr. Fees has to his attribute. Was one of America's greatest intelligence officers, John Barron, espionage expert, author of KGB. The author knows espionage, counterintelligence, and covert action, and how they are handled and mishandled by national leaders. A master of intelligence, he's seen and done it all. Don Levy, retired FBI special agent, former head of counterterrorism, Interpol. Retains a very high reputation among professionals. His long productive service is recognized by all. William Casey, former CIA director. Mm. A legendary figure in Langley, CIA headquarters. Die Weltwoche, newspaper, Zurich. He was also quoted as one of the most instrumental people that have shaped our covert activities around the world. I'm honored that he was my boss. You know, we had I worked for him. We worked for a little company that had a little organization. We won't say which one it is, Jim, before we let you on the air. But we had organizations in 45 countries worldwide. And right at the get-go, at 20, 21 years old, I got to learn from this American hero. And this American hero, as a CIA leader, negotiating deals at the height of the Cold War, was never allowed to brag about himself. So he had to write books under a code name. And I'm going to bust your code name open here, Jim. The nom de plume, as they say in French, Eric Jordan. If you read his books, it is none other than the man on the phone right now from Marbella, Spain, one of America's greatest defenders, who knows more about intelligence and CIA operations and the safety of this country than any man I've ever met, and he's a hero of mine. And here he is, James R. Fees. We got you on the phone, sir.
Mr. Fees.
Well, hello, Kevin, yes, and Mike, nice to talk with you, and Kevin, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Just so you know, I got to paint a little bit more of a vivid picture, Mr. Fees. We have Peter Brown, who's one of our lead sponsors. He's in the room. And we also have our fantastic milk drinker himself and my co-host.
He just drinks milk.
He just drinks milk. We don't know why. That's his job. We have Joe Rossi. So if we'll make sure that we say who we are when we ask any questions.
All right, fine.
We welcome you to Monday Night Talk, sir.
And
well,
Jim,
it's a pleasure to be here from so many thousand miles away.
Now, you have a home. Is that where you reside now, is in Spain, or are you out there on business?
Yes, I reside here. I'm married to a Belgian. We've lived in...
A beautiful Belgian.
I'm retired now, and so I've lived here for quite a few years.
I guess...
It's very sunny and nice most of the year round, so a pleasant place to...
Now, Jim, what time is it for you right now?
It's 1:45 in the morning on Tuesday.
Well, thank you for staying up to be on our show.
Well, it's a pleasure.
I guess maybe the key reason I had talked with Mr. Jones, everybody is very much fascinated with the latest news that's broke in Washington in regards to our work to bring home an American soldier, but trading out five Taliban who were at Gitmo. How have things changed in regards to foreign policy as compared to when you were in the CIA and doing the things that you were doing back a number of years ago?
Yeah, well, it was a number of years ago, so it was under different presidents and quite a bit different than today, I think. We had a very clear defensive and offensive policy in whatever part of the world we were working, particularly against terrorism. And in the Middle East, we had very strong connections, and we were, even those who feared us, respected us, and that was always the most important thing, to be respected.
Jim, can you tell me the story you told me this afternoon about during the Cold War, how the Russians said we could not be friends unless you left Cairo?
Yeah, well, yes, I had a few medals in my day, but one of the best compliments I ever got was from the enemy, because when I was chief of station in Cairo during Sadat's time and our rapprochement with the Egyptians, while we had switched Egypt from being pro-Soviet and dealing with the Soviets for 25 years to being pro-American and working with us and Kissinger very closely on new peace with Israel, and the foreign minister of Egypt at that time, Ismail Fahmy, he didn't like the fact that their policy had so fluctuated toward the American. It was just completely American, pro-American, and the Soviets were out of the picture in Cairo, and they knew it, and they couldn't figure out how to get back in. So Fahmy made a quick trip to Vienna for some conference, and with Sadat's approval, although Sadat thought it was a waste of time, he talked with the famous old Gromyko, the Cold War foreign minister of Stalin's era, and he told Gromyko his approach, that he really wanted to get Russian-Egyptian relations back on a 50-50 basis, like with the U.S., and not be so pro-American. And Gromyko, very cold, tough guy, just listened to his whole story without saying a word, and then he leaned over to him and he said, in a very firm voice, "Mr. Fahmy, we will never have good relations again as long as James Fees is in Cairo." And so I always considered that the greatest commendation I had gotten from the enemy.
Peter?
So with Cairo and Egypt and everything that's going on politically right now, if you were there now, what would you do?
Well, I think that... basically, the disruption there, primarily the real coup d'etat, was the Muslim Brotherhood, which got elected and then tried to take over as a Islamic Republic like in Iran, brutally, and then the army had to come back in basically and take over again to get them out of power, because the Muslim Brotherhood tried to kill Nasser. They almost did. They did kill Sadat, and they tried two or three times to kill Mubarak. So their proclivity to rule by violence is a historical fact, and they intended to do was take advantage of that first real election in the history of Egypt to turn it into a dictatorship, an Islamic dictatorship, just like Tehran. In fact, they were pushed in that direction by the Iranians. So this takeover again by the military and the election of the military man, General Sisi, is really a recovery, I think, for the whole nation. And that's why he's so popular, because they had such violence the last year, that full year that the Muslim Brotherhood was in, and it just wrecked the economy. They almost ran out of any foreign currency because there was no business whatsoever going on. So I think in the next year or so, they'll recover, and they'll be back a little bit. And our Congress and administration, I think, have learned. At first, they reacted too strongly, saying this was a military coup d'etat. It was actually another revolution to get rid of the Islamic coup d'etat. And in fact, all the political science books and history books will tell you that you don't have to have military to have a coup d'etat. Hitler was elected to power too, and then he just stayed in. He never went out and became a dictator. And that's exactly what these Islamists were trying to do in Cairo. So I think now it'll settle down in the next year.
Mr. Fees, it's Mike Jones here, your understudy.
Yes. Right.
I want to ask you, perhaps you could explain to the listenership where you rose in the agency and where your background is and exactly who you are, because I think there's a little confusion about the caliber of gentleman we have on the phone here from Marbella.
And if I could put a kind of a piggyback on that, I'd like to hear his thought as far as where things stand with terrorism.
I want to ask him publicly, what was the most dangerous time you had as one of the world's super spies?
But see, that's like three questions. We got to give him one.
Yeah, but the guy's really intelligent.
Why don't
you
narrow it down to one question?
Let's narrow it down. So again, introduce who he is and what was the question.
Mr. Fees, could you kind of explain, you explained to me, we had a long conversation today and have, but can you explain, like, why you got out on top at the CIA? Why you did that?
I don't,
how you escalated?
Well, I don't know. I got out on top. I found out about the CIA when I was doing my military service and then got into it.
By the way, a Notre Dame graduate, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Notre Dame
graduate. I graduated from Notre Dame in political science, and I did graduate work at Georgetown University in Arabic. And then I was thinking of going in initially to the Foreign Service, but I started out, I got a clerical job, actually working my way through university at CIA. And there I found out about the intelligence business in great detail and said, this is what I want to do. I want to be an operations officer. And so I joined the officer program then, which they took top ranking graduates. And I said I wanted to go to the Middle East, which they liked to hear. So I did my operational training down at the farm, which is well known in the newspapers, and had my operational training, and I came out of that with very high marks. So I stayed in operations. I went right into the Middle East, and that was the one thing. I think in the Middle East, you just got into the action fast because there was always action. If you went to other parts of the world, you might stumble onto some action, you might not, and have a pretty calm career. But in the Middle East, it was just constant wars, military wars and civil wars and insurgency wars and terrorism. So it was very easy, if you were good at your business, and I think I was, then you rose to that, and I rose to be the head of all Arab operations in Washington, and I served as CIA director in three different continents, in Asia, Africa, and Europe. And so I had quite a bit of experience. I was a real operations officer. I resisted after my one tour as a manager of the Arab area. I resisted being brought back to Washington mm-hmm. anymore because I was a field guy. I was a combat man. I wanted to be in the combat, you know.
And I have to mention to you, too, that my admiration for you runs extremely deep. I've known you for almost two decades. You've taught me so much of what has helped me shape my life. But I do want to say this about Mr. Fees and the folks of his ilk. They don't get the credit.
Mm.
They're the ones left behind.
Sure.
These are the unsung heroes of our intelligence community. And I'll tell you, this gentleman, Mr. Fees, he confirmed one major tenement, which was Ronald Reagan, sir. Do you remember? It was trust but verify.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah.
We get about 4 minutes.
Well, after I left the service and retired, went into business, I was called back by the White House under Reagan to make a secret trip as a private person to the Middle East mm-hmm. To contact another leader, another chief of state for the president, because they didn't want any official people involved in the contact. And I contacted that person on my own, at my own expense, and in a very high-risk operation.
Jim, this is my chance over the...
My wife thought I was just out on a business trip. So, but anyway, so I made a few contributions even after I left.
I know you did.
Well, we get Jim Fees, who is a high-ranking officer in the CIA, and a man who was well-renowned.
He makes James Bond look like an idiot.
Well, we get 2 minutes left. I got to ask you something as to what things look like right now. We're getting ready to pull out of Afghanistan. What, you know, what kind of intelligence is going on right now with the CIA when it comes to, you know,
the swap.
Getting ready for the swap, or, you know, that took place with the American soldier?
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on that.
I don't have any comment on the American soldier. I mean, I'm a very cynical person about what really goes mm-hmm. on secretly behind a lot of things that doesn't appear at first. So I don't want to comment about the American soldier.
Right.
You know, and what other comments are people in his former trips from troops are making. God knows what really went on there. Maybe there was something that nobody knows about, and that's why the president wanted to get him out of there.
And
it's never going to come to light right away.
Well, see, here's my question. We broke policy for something. I mean, we saw Americans who were getting beheaded over in Iraq and you know, and seeing them die in Afghanistan. Yet this one particular American was, you know, we traded five terrorists for this one American and broke policy.
Well, the one thing I think that's, if I may sound a little different on this, I've been heavily involved. I was a commander of covert operations, big covert operations against a nation in the Middle East. And there's a difference between insurgents and terrorists.
Mm.
Now, I consider the Taliban an army, not terrorists. I mean, they are vicious, horrible people. There's no doubt about it. And
Hello, James? I think we just lost
James.
Are
you there, Jim? Did we lose you?
I think we lost him.
He was operating on a scrambled signal from Marbella to the United Kingdom to here.
Well, we get about a minute left, so that was a fantastic... At least we had a good conversation. I think what we got to do is plan to have him back on again.
Probably. Oh, he'd be happy to. He's an excellent American, a true American hero.
Who knew we were going to get into Egypt and what's going on there? Because, I mean, they just had elections again. I think just elected a new president, 96%. But
this gentleman's 88 years old. He's revolved around the sun so many more times than we have, and he has so much more institutional input.
It's a heck of an analogy, but I think you might be spot on with that.
That's what makes wisdom.
Anything you want to say in closing, Mr. Jones?
Only thank you for having me on your show. And I'll be happy to come back anytime you need D.C. Spokesman, members of Congress, senators.
Oh, you'll be back you'll be back in about 4. Well, we've already discussed some of our upcoming shows that we're gonna do, and they might even make Joe smile a little bit and drink less milk because they're gonna be a little bit more substance. But that's all we have here for a Monday Night Talk. I want to thank Peter and Joe and Michael and Mayor Carpenter, Scott Farber. as well as Scott Vecchi and our friend Mr. Lynch.
Boys and Girls Club, Plymouth.org.
That's thanks all we- for the good work you do, by the way. No one ever thanks you at the end of the show.
And Mr. Tocci.
Mr. Yep. Milk Guy.
With that, we should be thankful. With that, we go home. Up next, South Shore Live. Don't go anywhere.